Evening, everybody. Welcome to the August meeting of the Complete Streets Coordinating Council. My name is Colleen Whitaker, and I am with Southwest Decision Resources, and we are the facilitators of this council and very happy to be. Some very quick reminders and housekeeping, and then we'll get rolling on our very full and exciting agenda. Zoom reminders are, please, members, especially camera on if you're able to, mute if you are not talking. We use the raise hand function, which is at the bottom of your Zoom window under reactions, if you would like to speak. We prioritize, with limited time, we prioritize member questions and comments and discussion, and time permitting, we open to observer question and comments and discussion. So thanks to the observers also who are with us tonight. Housekeeping item is approval of past minutes. So we did not have a meeting in July because sadly we didn't make quorum. First time ever that it's happened. There's always a first, hopefully a last. So we're approving the June minutes. So are there any corrections or edits to the June meeting minutes? Okay. So no corrections, they are approved by consensus because there are no corrections or issues, and we just need the co-chairs to motion to approve, please.
I move to approve the June meeting minutes.
Second.
So approved, thank you. All right, I'll hand it over to Patrick to get us rolling on this big agenda.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the August meeting of the Complete Streets Coordinating Council. So this is going to be a repeat agenda of what was sent out in anticipation of the July meeting. However, we did have to make a small adjustment, or maybe a large adjustment, to the agenda, given a time-sensitive item. So tonight we will be looking to review and approve, potentially, or seek approval of funding for the remaining segment on the Limberlost project that we discussed at the prior meeting. We'll be seeking a recommendation of funding for some neighborhood traffic calming projects under the 411 neighborhood safety mini grant set aside. We will be discussing the preliminary approved collector list approved by the Independent Oversight and Accountability Commission will kind of be the backbone and basis of the safety plan. And then it is time, I think, to look to have a changing of the guards and see if anybody would be interested in taking on the co-chairmanship of this committee.
Okay, excellent. Thanks, Patrick. Any questions? Brilliant. Oh, people are still coming in. Great. Okay, so let's roll straight into the first agenda item, the Limberlost funding request. Patrick.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll just do a brief screen share as a refresher. Maybe. Not sure. It's not showing. Show all windows now. Okay, I think I've got too many windows open.
All right, we see it.
Great. So this was the project we had brought and discussed in June, and the concept here was we were seeking funding to extend the previously approved Limberlost Complete Street Safety Project from its current endpoint at Stone Avenue to points east, taking it all the way to First Avenue. And this aligns with that initial period paving work that is happening in that gap area, and was consistent with the recommendation of the tentative five-year plan that had already been approved and passed. So the concept here was that the paving work will be going ahead between First Avenue and Stone Avenue. We have a safety project with paving work happening to the west of Stone Avenue, and we are seeking $1 million to layer in protected bike lanes, lighting, ADA accessibility improvements and intersection improvements to the section between Stone and First Avenue. Since last time, we have had an opportunity to do a kind of a site walk and talk and dive into the project a little more. With that, since we've discussed this at the previous meeting, I think that's enough background, but I'm available to answer questions, and you would be seeking direction from the committee.
Thanks, Patrick. Short and sweet. Questions? Sophia?
Yeah, I just wanted to share, I felt like I was the one who was suggesting that we hold off. So just wanted to run through. The walkthrough is really great. Rewatching the presentation was incredibly helpful. I think this experience also taught me that I didn't fully understand Prop 411 and the distinction between the 20% and 80%. So having that time to just put all of that together and learn more about how these things work was really helpful. So thanks everyone for allowing for that time to take place. And I just feel like that's important for us to understand what it is that we're voting on. So it's great that it didn't need to be rushed. And so with that, you know, we took the time and it wasn't too detrimental to the project. And yeah, I feel very confident in moving forward to vote on this.
Thanks, Sophia, for sharing that. And yeah, glad that you spoke up and got time that you needed and that it was valuable. And I'm sure others found it valuable too, to have time to get more info. Are there other comments, questions about this?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, it's Marshall, sorry, forgot to raise the hand.
That's fine, you're fine.
I was just gonna say, I think it's a good idea to do this just because it's tying all these kind of different projects together into one nice long finished LimberLost. So I think it's a good idea.
Okay, thanks, Marshall. Others? Okay. So this is a decision item. So we will go through our consensus process. So the first question is, does anyone feel that they need more time? And you don't have to say why. You can just say that you need more time and you're not ready to vote tonight. Okay, so if everyone is ready, then the next question is, does anyone feel that they cannot support approving funding for this request? And if so, then we'll dig into why. Any hesitations? Okay, it's not an awkward silence, it's a purposeful silence to give you all the time you need. All right, if there's no hesitations or no reservations, then that we have consensus approval for this funding request, and we just require the co-chairs to motion and second.
I move to approve funding for LimberLost.
And I second.
Okay, so approved. And then the last part is that we just do a little clap because we like it to be celebratory when you all make a well-deliberated decision. All right. Okay, wonderful. So let's roll right along then. Our next item is Gabriela talking about the neighborhood safety funding request. So Gabriela, you are with us, I think? Yes. Except I see your name, but not your face. There she is.
Hi, thanks, Colleen. I'm queuing up my screen to share it. Okay. Okay. Can you see that?
We see it. Looks great.
Perfect. Okay. Hi, everyone. Good evening. Thanks for giving me some time to come to you tonight with this funding proposal. So I hope to get through these in 10 minutes. And then we'll leave enough time for questions and discussion.
And Gabriela, we are amazingly slightly ahead for the moment, so don't feel too pressured with your presentation.
Thank you. So I'm going to run through the four different projects and with a similar format that you've seen on other requests, starting with the summary and ending with, or then following with, why should we consider advancing them now? So a few, some of them are more time sensitive than others. And how does it align with the CCC priorities for safe streets funded by Prop 411? And then lastly, how would approving the funding for these projects impact the 10-year program? Okay, so a refresher. Where did this come from? So in past presentation, you might remember this slide, the table. So we're estimating $450,000 per year based on current revenue projections for this tiny slice of 411, which is the neighborhood traffic calming piece that is under the safe street system-wide safety improvement category. So we have the mini grant applications that are going to be live out in the public on October, so coming up. Then we thought, okay, what do we do while we wait for those? We wait for the applications to come in and for the review and that entire process. So we thought we would identify a few low-hanging fruit projects, so to speak, that have all the petitions and agency approvals looking back 4 years, given that those petitions are good for 4 years. And then here I am, number two, seeking approval, your approval or comments on these for this pilot year. So we have a $75,000 set aside for these neighborhood traffic mitigation programs, which is MTMP. And then we do anticipate needing about $100,000 for the design and construction engineering services, given that we don't have enough in-house staff to carry out that entire program. So, okay. Where did this come from? I wanted to be transparent and show you the process and how we arrived to these four. So the first thing we looked at, as I mentioned, was the neighborhood traffic mitigation program. Are they unfunded? Have they met the requirements? And are they about to expire? Second variable that we looked at was, is there an overlap with 411 repaving work? We've heard from the council offices and others in one-on-one meetings over the past few months that we should try to layer traffic calming improvements following the repaving work whenever possible. We know that given that every neighborhood street is going to be repaved as a result of the 411 program over the course of the 10 years, it is not feasible to do traffic calming on every street. So we do have to prioritize them. We have you to help us do. And then we looked at, is it on the initial project list or the phase one project list? And then another consideration, although not requirement, was, is there an overlap with the high equity areas? Because we have our goals to hit of funding 60% or more of the dollars in the high equity priority areas. All right, here's the summary of the cost of these estimated costs of these four small projects. There's we're estimating a single speed hump to cost around $7,000. And you see the third item has three for $21,000. And then the fourth item is a traffic circle for around $30,000. So that totals $65,498. And I'll go into each of those. Here's a map showing the four locations and indicated by those green pins overlaid with the equity map. So darker purple is higher need and goes down by the shades, and white is the lowest need. Okay, Flowing Wells Speed Hump. This is in Ward 3. It's located on Knox Street, which is across the street from Flowing Wells High School. Here's an aerial map and a street view. You can see that there's no existing traffic calming on this street. Why fund this now? So this one is scheduled to be repaved in the coming months. So it's one of the, it's on the initial project map. It also has received has all the approvals, which are the petitions and the agency approvals. Just a note about what is an agency approval. That means it's gone through all the departments that are impacted. So fire, environmental services, police, engineering, so looking at stormwater implications, and traffic engineering. So as I said, the construction is supposed to happen this fall, pretty soon. Benefit of funding this or approving this speed hump at this time would be that there'd be cost savings on mobilization. So that's the cost associated with construction projects to get the equipment out and make it happen. And that tends, I just had a conversation with Logan from Tucson Clean and Beautiful today, and they mentioned they gave an actual cost for mobilization on a project that I'll go into that was that was estimated to be $5,000 for two traffic circles. So it can be a significant portion of the cost estimate for the overall project. So if we can save that, why not? And then we would also be minimizing neighborhood construction disruptions by doing it right after the repaving. So the second point we want to look at is what are the safety implications and overlap with the CCC goals. So I looked at the PAG Safety Explorer data that indicated that the performance is fair, given that there are four crashes between 2017 and 2021. Three of them were property damage only, and one was non-incapacitating. As I mentioned, also across from Flowing Wells High School, so there are a lot of young drivers and walkability improvement potential. Equity, it's within an area that scored as higher per the MOVE Tucson equity analysis. South Park Speed Hump, so second project. This is located in Ward 5 near Quincy Douglas Park and Silver Lake Park. Why fund this now? It has the NTMP approvals, petitions, and agency approvals. It's also scheduled to be repaved through 411, but in phase one. So not this year, but soon after. And equity, it is within an area that scored as highest, so even a little higher than Flowing Wells per the MOVE Tucson equity analysis, as you can see in the dark purple. It's adjacent to the park, also very close to the Holiday Elementary School. It has a fair safety performance according to the PAG Safety Explorer, and it has one property damage crash reported. And there are also bicycle and pedestrian concerns that Ward 5 shared with us. Given that there's a high traffic area, there's a lot of activity, especially cars coming in and out of there with games and different activities taking place in the park. So there's a lot of congestion and families. Sarnoff speed humps. So this is way out on the east side. And this is the three speed humps. You can see a street view image of the north end looking south and the northbound as well. Why fund this now? It has NT approvals, and this one is actually set to expire this year since they were collected in 2019. And it is also a priority for the ward office, as are all of them, I meant to mention. Equity, this one is not directly located in a high equity area, but it is a quarter mile from an area that scored higher per the MOVE Tucson equity analysis. So it's kind of this little island. And this is, there are, so looking at the safety, what are the potential safety benefits? There's no existing traffic calming infrastructure on this half mile stretch from Wrightstown to Pima. The street design is also a straight travel path. So we know that when you're driving and you just see a straight line of sight, you're typically more likely to go at higher speeds for us. That's one benefit of having traffic calming, like chicanes or curbs and speed humps, in this case for speed. And it's also 0.15 miles from Bloom Elementary School. Lastly, we have the Rose Neighborhood GSI Traffic Circle in Ward 1. Tucson Clean and Beautiful has taken on this project, and they came to me back in May, I believe it was, asking for this funding request. So this one's a little bit different, but they've already they put together this wonderful plan here. So this is an image from that, looking at the before and after of the traffic circle. So there are two traffic circles in this that are part of this project. They have the funding for one, and their ask is, can we fund the other one? So here's a breakdown of that. They are both on 13th Avenue. One is on Ohio and one is on Oklahoma. And you might be like, wow, $30,000 for two traffic circles. Why? These are green stormwater infrastructure traffic circles. So there's a lot of stormwater implications in terms of collecting rainwater, as well as adding to the green infrastructure in the area, which in my next slide, you'll see why that's necessary. So Tucson Clean and Beautiful has already gone through the whole process with the neighborhood and done a collaborative planning effort, which takes a lot of time. And they've done a really great job about involving the community to come up with this design together. So the two traffic circles would amount to $60,995. So if their ask is for us to fund one through 411, and that comes out to $30,498. And this cost covers design, construction, so materials, labor, equipment, supervision, permits, mobilization, and the plantings. Also, they have a planting event scheduled in later this fall, in November, I believe, for the community to participate. So why fund this now? It has NTMP approvals, so petitions and agency approvals. It's a really awesome opportunity to leverage funding. So again, it's a cost-sharing opportunity with their mini-grant program that helped inspire our mini-grant program. Theirs is called RainWorks. And we would be saving a lot in the planning, design, construction, and mobilization costs. So priority, it's within an area that's scored as highest per the Move Tucson equity analysis, and it's an opportunity to add shade and support native trees with stormwater. It scored 66 within the tree equity score, so that puts it like tier one or tier two priority for maintenance as well. So I'm still waiting on having a confirmation from the storm to shade team, but it is likely that the maintenance would be covered if it is in that tier one category of highest priority, meaning that it is, which is based on the tree equity score. Safety benefits, it serves as a corridor for kids walking to see Rose. It's also, this one scored poor performance with the PAG Safety Explorer. There's a reported dangerous driving behavior, including donuts and cut through traffic off of South 12th Avenue, and property damage actually as well, anecdotal, and as you can see in these crashes. So there are eight reported crashes from 2017 to 2021, although none resulted in a serious injury or fatality, and none involved people walking or biking. There are still crashes nonetheless. All right, so summary, looking back at the numbers and breakdown per project. So we here, the table one, you see the low opportunity areas. Low opportunity is another way of, I thought, of phrasing the high equity need areas. So Flowing Wells, South Park, and Rose are all low opportunity areas, and that amounts to $44,498. Okay, and then the second table is Flowing Wells, South Park, Sarnoff, and Rose. So it's a summary of all of them at $65,498. So quick facts recapping to the first couple slides. The total funding for the neighborhood traffic calming this year, we're anticipating, is going to be $450,000, We have that $75,000 set aside, and one of our equity goals was to allocate at least 60% of the funds to higher and highest equity areas, which are seen in table one. So what percentage of the projects are in low opportunity areas? That comes out to 68%. So we're meeting that 60% or above goal. Impact to the 10-year program. Here we can look at the, again, seeing that it would be 68% of the expense in the high equity priority areas. And we would actually have a little extra, which we could carry over to the mini grant funding. So that extra, it would be $9,502, making the pot for the mini grant a little bigger. And that's it. Now time for questions and discussion.
Thank you, Gabriela. Patrick, did you want to add anything else before we open to the group?
No, thank you. That was an excellent presentation. And just a refresher, we are seeking authorization of funding for those four projects that were outlined tonight.
Okay, so these materials were shared ahead of time, but it is a lot, and there's four projects in there. So let's start with questions for Gabriela. Marshall.
Yeah, I just had a couple of questions about the cost of the projects. So you were talking about for the first project, that's I think Ward 1, the flowing wells. If that neighborhood is slated to be resurfaced, wouldn't the speed hump be cheaper than $7,000, especially if you already have all the equipment and kind of workers out there?
Yes, that's a really good point. So the reason we're just estimating 7,000 because that's a max for all of them. So it very well could be a lot lower, but we don't have the exact cost estimate yet because we're waiting on your decision tonight. So if you all give that one a go, then at that point I would give Jim DeBrood, who's managing all of the repaving projects, the green light, and he would have the contractor added to the scope of work.
Okay. And the second question about the South Park one, you said that street or that neighborhood is slated to be resurfaced next year in phase one of Prop 411?
Yeah, so that one is, it's phase one. So they haven't assigned specific months or years to that yet. It's just years two and or more,
okay.
I believe.
Okay, oh, I thought maybe, okay. But would it make sense to hold off on building a speed hump for when they do that work, or is this?
Yes, so this could just be the authorization to move forward with it, and that's a good question. We would definitely hold off on building it right after. So that's okay. Why we're seeking your feedback tonight.
Perfect. That
one is like not as time sensitive, as you mentioned, because the repaving is not happening now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marshall. Ruth?
A couple questions on the traffic circle projects. Were those picture, first question, are they four-way stops with the traffic circles?
I'm not sure. I would have to look at the site plans.
And then Logan is saying two-way in the comment, if that's helpful.
Oh, thank you, Logan. So we have a project manager from Tucson Clean and Beautiful here, so they kindly... we're available to answer those types of questions.
So the 13th Avenue would have the thoroughfare and the side streets would have to stop?
Logan, I don't know the exact placement of the stop signs. Do you? We could also look into it and get back to you.
Then my second question, is that a to scale drawing of the actual traffic circle?
This is an early concept rendering. So
it looks really small.
It's not the engineering site plan, so.
Okay, it looks dinky to me to actually slow anybody down. Compared to the ones on Treat, it's just like little. Yeah. So looks more like it's for aesthetics than.
Well, this was just to show what the plantings would be like and the concept of the community. It's not, this is not the engineering site plan.
Okay.
Yeah, but we do have a standard detail for our traffic circles. So a lot of the smaller ones that you do see out over the, around the city are like the older iteration. As you mentioned, Street, that's a newer project. So we are making them bigger while still allowing, we need to provide, you know, certain clearance for the travel lanes and for vehicles to move around it.
Okay. And then one final question, this projects with one speed hump, does one speed hump actually do anything when you have a long stretch? It looks like those roads are pretty long, straight roads. And well, one speed hump, is it at the, it looks like it's at the end of the road near the major thoroughfare.
Oh, for the Wells one? Yeah, good question. So typically they work better in pairs, been told by the traffic engineers. So the Sarnoff one is a bundle of three. The Flowing Wells one that I think you're referring to is just one, but it is a shorter street segment. So I'm not sure if the neighborhood just wanted the one, but that's the one that we have the approval for.
Okay.
So it would still make a difference, and typically they work better in twos.
Thanks.
Good question.
And we do have Logan from Tucson Clean and Beautiful here, so please feel free to chime in as well, Logan, or add anything about that project. I see you've been kind of answering some questions in chat.
Yeah, Logan, do you want to add any, you have any more background or points that you think the CSCC should take into consideration?
Perhaps not. But I will, while Logan is considering that, we had a comment in the chat, and I do, because of the rules of Zoom, I need to read it into the record. So from Ben, two suggestions. So many traffic circles become trash collectors. Perhaps add a line item to application that asks Neighborhood Association for their commitment to maintain the circle once installed. Second, please be sure to include TFD in the design phase to assure that ladder trucks can navigate the intersection once the traffic circle is installed. I will say Logan responded to that and said the traffic circle has the correct amount of space to allow a fire truck. Thanks for those comments, Ben.
Great, I noted them. And TFD is automatically included in the agency approval. So it was when I was mentioning the agencies that do approvals, I was giving examples. So it was an exhaustive list. But good, definitely very important stakeholder.
Okay, other questions or just comments? Like, what are you guys, where are you sitting right now? Are you feeling positive about these? Do you still have questions remaining? I believe, you know, it's always up to you how you want to proceed. I guess you could approve all or none or some or any combination of the above. Sophia? Oh, wait, sorry, Rhonda was first.
Rhonda was first.
Sophia, my fault.
I was just going to say that I support the package as a whole. All of these areas either fall in an equity area or are very close to one. And they all seem to have heavy pedestrian opportunities, either schools or parks or both. And I think it's seems like a reasonable request. And I also appreciate the cost sharing and the engagement of the of Tucson Clean and Beautiful.
Thanks, Rhonda. Sophia?
Yeah, I feel similarly to Rhonda. I feel like this presentation animated each of the projects. I thought it was great that that Gabriela, you mentioned that the rendering with the plants was actually showing what kind of plants would be in there. I think that's really important for all city designs when going to the public, because people think that there's going to be trees and then oftentimes there's not. So I think it's really important to reflect that accurately. So thank you for like being explicit about that. I think for these projects, it seems like there's already neighborhood energy around that, and it feels important to pass them through, even if they're not necessarily in a higher or high equity area. And or, you know, whatever terminology we're using with opportunity. And so, yeah, I feel good to pass this along. I think I am curious generally, so maybe it's a different presentation, is just understanding more about speed humps. I don't think many of us know, you know, pairing it as a combination is more effective. Like, it would just be good to hear more truth on speed bumps, and just how can we have a critical analysis when approving speed humps in the future. So I know I'm newer to the group, but maybe just like a little refresher would be nice on that. Yeah.
Thank you, Sophia. And I can also put that into some of the materials that we're developing now for the mini grants. So that's a really good suggestion. Same in the notes under each like menu of item option, like those little considerations people can take into account. And we're happy to provide more educational opportunities for you all too. But thank you for that summary.
Thanks. Yeah. And then just that reminds me of one last question. I forgot where it landed with the neighborhood traffic safety improvement plan. It sounds like how we split up the funding. Can I just get maybe a refresher at some point in this meeting or somehow about we decided not to give each ward equal amounts of funding, or is it just kind of like the 60% of funds need to go to higher and highest equity areas is what we landed on?
Yeah, good question. So we are not doing a set amount for each ward office. So we're having it be guided by the applications that we're receiving, as well as the data. So every single application will be scored the exact same way, using a scorecard with the criteria. And that's how we're doing it. That said, knowing that it's a 10-year program, we have plenty of time and opportunity to have projects in all over the city. So that's definitely a consideration. We've had one-on-one meetings with all the ward offices, and they've been really supportive of this approach, as has the Office of Equity. So it's, and not to mention you all, so you've been a huge factor in leading us and with that approach. So thanks.
Okay. We do have a few questions in the chat, which I will read and you can respond to maybe, Gabriela. One is, regarding the traffic circles, will the city or the neighborhood be responsible for the upkeep and watering of the plants in the traffic circle?
So it depends, based on my conversations with Storm to Shade and Tucson Clean and Beautiful, it depends on where that neighborhood ranks within the tree equity score. So if it is like a high need area or like a high score for the tree equity score, then it's classified as a tier one priority. And I believe that tier one priorities, well, they get full maintenance from contractors that through the Storm to Shade program. Then you have a tier two, which is a moderate priority, and they still get some maintenance by contractors, and not as much. I believe it's half. And then tier three is where there's an agreement with the neighborhood. And those are typically higher resource neighborhoods that have the time and resources to help care for them. And that is like the high level explanation, but I don't know if Logan wants to add anything, but we can also get clarification from Storm to Shade. So I'm actually talking to Brooke, who manages the maintenance for the Storm to Shade program, on Friday to get clarification on how I could look at what tier the neighborhoods fall under for the maintenance, because that's really important. But like the Treat Bike Boulevard has a really awesome GSI project that is behind curb in a mini pocket park. So that I I see neighbors taking care of it often. So that was, I'm assuming, one of the tier three projects.
Okay, thanks. And then Logan is chiming in chat that Tucson Clean and Beautiful is a contractor for Storm to Shade's maintenance program. And he says, we also get buy-in from the neighborhood before moving on a project. We also typically allocate funds for establishment, watering, and care. So we have another question, which is there any research to show whether speed humps or chicanes are more effective in traffic slowing? And some answers already from other members in chat. Jonathan says DTM typically measures traffic speeds pre and post improvement to determine effectiveness. And empirically, these type of improvements do slow speeds. Evren has added something in the chat saying Seattle did a study a while back and documented a 93% reduction in crashes after traffic circles were installed.
That's a really great question. And thanks for adding that, Evren. So part of the mini grant program will be hopefully doing some data collection for those projects that are selected so we can have our own local stats on the impacts to traffic safety.
Okay. So I don't see any other hands up and no other movement in the chat for the moment. Let's check in with how members are feeling about making a decision on this. So we've heard a couple of members fully in support of the full package. Are there other perspectives? Anyone want to offer support or not?
I think it's a smart thing to tie in the projects with the repaving project. So yeah, I think it's a really good idea. So happy to approve it.
Okay. So thanks, Marshall. Let's move forward then, assuming that let's talk about the four projects going forward tonight. So starting from that assumption, if that was what we were going for, does anyone not feel ready to make a decision about the four projects tonight? You guys are just ready for decisions tonight. So let's just go. Okay. Does anyone have any concerns or hesitations about moving forward to approve all four of these projects? That hesitation could be that you are feeling good about some of them, but not all of them. I almost wish we had like the Jeopardy music in the background while we were waiting for, okay. Going once. It seems you all are feeling good about supporting this. So maybe just show me some thumbs that we can move on. Yeah, all right. So if there's no hesitations or no concerns, then there is consensus approval to move forward on funding for all four of these projects. And we just require a motion and a second from our co-chairs.
I move to approve funding for all four projects as presented.
Second.
And yay.
Okay. Thank you all. This is really exciting. I can't wait to share the news with the neighborhoods. I really appreciate you, your participation and support.
Thanks for your very thorough presentation, Gabriela. Lots of thank yous in the chat. Okay. All right, next up on our agenda is the IOAC tentative approval of the years 2 through 5 Collector Street list. So Patrick, go ahead and kick this one off for us and frame kind of what is before the committee tonight.
Great, yeah. Thank you very much, Colleen, and thank you, Gabriela, on an excellent presentation and discussion. So I have an update, and there's been a lot of progress at the IOAC recently with advancing some of the work under the Collector Street program. So I've got a very brief presentation kind of providing an overview and reminder of what the Collector Street program is relative to Proposition 411. And really, we're going to be opening it up for a lot of discussion tonight to think through this and discuss kind of the state of the collector program, how that's going to inform some of the 411 decision making of this body, and really support the work you're doing in terms of establishing what our ultimate goal is here, is getting that 5-year program in place so we can start moving on more projects. So as a bit of background and reminder, I know some of you weren't here at the time. With the passage of Proposition 411, Mayor and Council determined to go to the voters and set aside 80% of those funds as approved for repaving work on local streets. And local streets are typically, you know, streets in neighborhoods. They don't often have striping on the streets. They intersect with major roadways, often at stop signs. They aren't signalized. Very low traffic, and probably right in front of your house right now. 20% of that money then, and the goal there is to repave every local street in the city of Tucson in 10 years with the funding from Proposition 411. That's our promise and commitment to the voters and the residents of Tucson. With that, they also set aside 20% of the funds for the safety program, which is what we're working on here every month, where sidewalks, lighting, bikeways, and traffic signal upgrades. At the same time, they also passed a complementary program, which was to set aside $15 million a year for the next 5 years to repave the Collector Street Network. And the Collector Street Network are kind of those middle sibling of Tucson's or any city's street network. They have a little bit more traffic than your local streets. They tend to have striping, you know, maybe stop signs, or they might have traffic signals, typically between, you know, 3,000 to say 10,000 vehicles per day, and are, you know, a mix of residential and commercial, but they're not your largest streets. They're not your Valencia, your Irvingtons, your Campbells. It's more Glen, Bilby, Pantano, kind of those scale of streets. So they set aside that $15 million as complimentary, and $11 million of that is coming out of the gas tax, which is the Highway User Revenue Fund, the direct distribution to cities and towns of Arizona. We're committing $11 million of our HERF distribution to this Collector Street program, exclusively for pavement on collectors. And then we are also tapping into $4 million out of the City of Tucson's general fund, which is at the discretion of council and doesn't often come to transportation, whereas the HERF funds are dedicated to transportation purposes and restricted by Arizona State Constitution as to what they can be used on. The Independent Oversight and Accountability Commission, which we've talked about quite a bit, is the body determining both how the 80% funds are being used, as well as the supplemental funding for the Collector Street program. How this got here, we'll talk about in a moment. So the reason this is important for the CSCC is with the approval to go to the vote for the Proposition 411 program, Mayor and Council gave us direction to look for every opportunity to really layer in projects. So to use these funds to deliver more complete, more transformative projects. So like the model of Limberlost we just looked at, we are looking at those opportunities where we're doing paving work to be able to bring in the safety funding to complement. So we aren't just doing a one-off sidewalk here, paving work over there, and maybe some safety improvements over there. If we put them all together, then we can have a major impact on that event, that corridor, modernize the corridor, bring it up to current standards, increase the safety, and really deliver complete streets. Previously talking through this body with the framework in terms of the project prioritization, there was a determination to meet that directive or that guidance from Mayor and Council to look for opportunities to use the Collector Street projects then that will be repaving under 411 as the highest priority for layering in the 411 safety funds. So as we're doing with Bilby and as we're now going to be doing with Limberlost, we're going out there, we're doing the repaving, but instead of just treating it as a paving project, we are doing a full corridor design. And that opens up just a lot more creativity and opportunities for us to kind of change the geometry, the dimensions of that roadway to really be able to deliver those complete streets in a more unified manner. And I think consistent with the vision of this committee and the intent of the complete streets policy.
Hey, Patrick, could I interrupt you for 1 second?
Please.
Question from Sophia. Relevant to the last slide, does Tucson get Tucson HERF money, or is it split differently across AZ?
So it is based on a funding distribution formula determined by the state legislature, and it's a mix of basically fuel sales and population that determine how it is distributed each down to the jurisdictions. ADOT, if you go to ADOT's website, it has kind of the formula how state gas tax is distributed across the state. And not exclusively gas tax, it's also your registration fees when you, you know, do your registration, your vehicle, diesel tax for commercial vehicles, et cetera. So yeah, some of it goes to the state of Arizona for basically maintaining ADOT facilities or adding new ADOT facilities. Some of that flows down to the jurisdictions based on population and fuel sales. Some of it goes to unincorporated counties, and some of it flows directly into the MPOs, Pima Association of Governments and Maricopa Association of Governments. And it's based on the 18-cent gas tax that we have here in Arizona. Just as a shameless mention, that is the same gas tax we've had since 1991. So the purchasing power of that 18 cents is very different in 2023 as it was in 1991.
Noted. Thank you, Patrick.
It is not indexed to inflation, I think, is the key concept here.
Okay. Thanks for answering that.
So the IOAC reviewed the collector list that we had distributed out ahead of this meeting and tentatively approved the collector program as we've shared with you. They gave that direction on the understanding that the collector list, knowing its importance to the safety program, also be provided to the CSCC for input and comments before they make a final determination on approval. So that's why we're here tonight, to see if there's any additional feedback, comments, or direction from the CSCC to the IOAC, who is the official approving body of what the collector program will be for the next 5 years. The way that they went about their business was really taking a worst first approach. So looking exclusively at the pavement condition, identifying those that are in very poor or failed condition, and identifying those as the priorities based on the OCI or the overall condition index. We've then taken a second step to look at opportunities for how those relate to our Move Tucson projects and which of those projects present opportunities for that layering that we've been discussing. So I sent out this spreadsheet ahead of the meeting. I'll just run through it very quickly, a couple of items we were looking at. So it establishes what the route would be, the route limits of the corridor, and then the first treatment. So we were really targeting those corridors that were titled reconstruction. This means that when we go in there, we're going down to the dirt, we're taking out all of the pavement, and those are the ones that really provide the layering opportunities. There's another category called preservation. That's just going to go in, we're going to put down a seal of some sort. Typically, that's not something that's going to really lend itself to changing the geometry of the roadway, adding sidewalks. There's going to be no kind of efficiencies gained from that. So we're really looking at those reconstruction projects and trying to identify those which overlap with Move Tucson. So that's what that first treatment category is. The OCI is the overall condition index based on a numeric value. Basically, 100 is pristine, perfect pavement. Anything below 40 is considered, you know, failed pavement, failed or very poor condition. So everything above that red line you had in your spreadsheet was below that value of 40. So it was all poor condition. You can see if you look under the no treatments, which are the ones that aren't being proposed to move forward with the collector program, a lot of those have variable quality from the mid 40s up to the 80s or 90s. But that was because of that worst pavement condition first. Then we brought in a comparison with overlap of Move Tucson projects. So for example, on Stella Road, where you have an OCI of 30, this one falls on the list, but it's not an identified Move Tucson project. So this isn't one that we would necessarily be considering for a layering project, because we want to deliver on the Move Tucson template and project. However, this one does happen to be a 407 Bike Boulevard project, so that provides an opportunity with a different funding program, but we'll be able to match up the 407 work with the the collector program repaving work. However, there are others where they're just no's because they have poor asphalt but aren't necessarily Move Tucson projects. So that was kind of what determined that column four. Do you see this as a layering opportunity? So anything that's a yes is a Move Tucson project. Identified if it's a tier one, tier two project, and then identified those layering opportunities. So you can see, for example, 36th Street is not identified as a Move Tucson project, so we did not identify that as a layering opportunity. So I won't dig into that, but you do have that information. It's something you can take a look at as we go through this exercise. And then we also provided the map, which I know is extremely small, so I'm going to zoom in here. And basically, this shows the distribution of that repaving work. Anything that's red are those that are tagged for potential reconstruction. The blue color are for other collector, meaning those aren't being recommended by the IOAC for any paving work. And then the green are the preservation, which is important work on the pavement side, but it's not necessarily something that presents any opportunity for us for kind of layering in projects. We really want to look at kind of the reds and the blues, I think, are the most important. And you can see we have a pretty good distribution. There's a couple other categories. We have these dashed ones. These are projects that have already been approved through that first year. So, for example, Bilby's on here. We're advancing that project. A couple others that we're already moving on. So that's kind of the overall intent of this. And the IOAC, again, is really seeking input, feedback, recommendations from the CSCC. With that, though, I will turn it over to Jim DeGroot, and if they're to be able to speak more as the staff liaison to that committee.
Thanks, Patrick. Thank you for the opportunity to address the Complete Streets Coordinating Council. We did present this list of projects to the IOAC at its June meeting, and we did it with no prioritization in terms of the timing. We wanted to get input from the Complete Streets Coordinating Council on that. The streets that we have identified are the collector streets. All would be considered as being very poor. The overall condition index, in fact, we didn't get all of the very poor roads addressed. We came up just short of that. The condition index that was the kind of the break line for where our funding ran out worked out at a little over 38, and anything that is a 40 or below is considered very poor. There are some projects that we were looking at and saying, gee, you know, we're kind of on the fence about, you know, maybe we should reconsider them because of other factors, one of which is Tucson Boulevard between 22nd Street and Broadway. Looking at that because of the potential impact that might be on that particular roadway due to the upcoming closure of the 22nd Street viaduct over the railroad track. So those are things that, you know, we'd be happy to take your input on. We structured our recommendation based solely on the overall condition index, though. And where we have the opportunity to leverage, what we'd like to do is layer. We'd like to get those going first because those typically take a little more work. So get those identified, and then we can start looking at getting those projects underway. Other projects may actually come out of the or go to construction sooner, but that would be largely a function of their complexity and the ability to deliver them. So, but we do want to get your input and have, again, deliberately left the timing of those collector street projects open-ended and with a promise to come back to the IOAC with your recommendations and further recommendations from staff. So with that, happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Let's jump right in with Riley.
Thanks. Patrick, I just want to get clear. Are we supposed to look at proposing or possibilities for layering safety and pedestrian, or like bicycle and pedestrian safety projects on these? And then if the blue is not proposed, like I didn't quite get the blue because you said it's like no treatment, but those are still eligible for projects right now as collectors, or what's the relevance of the blue ones, I guess?
Yeah, sorry. Thanks for asking it. So the blue are designated collector streets. So each street has a designation based on Tucson's major streets and routes plan. We determine whether it's an arterial, a collector, or a local street. The blues are designated or classified as local street or collector streets but there's no pavement money identified through the collector program on those. So those would be projects, for example, that aren't going to make it into our five-year safety plan unless they do so independent of any paving work. So there's no reason why we couldn't come back and say put sidewalks on Pima Street. We just wouldn't be doing it in conjunction with paving work. So it's going to be a more limited kind of improvement, and it's going to restrict us in certain ways of being able to, move curb lines and things like that, that we might be able to explore with a more expansive project. Does that answer your question? So those would be the projects that you could potentially provide feedback on that you would like to see considered in this initial collector list for layering opportunities, but are not currently in it.
Okay.
And what was your first question?
That we're looking at, so they've identified their priority. Are they looking for feedback on whether maybe they should prioritize different collectors, or are they more looking for feedback on what other kinds of layers of projects could work with them? Or is that sort of neither here nor there right now?
So it's not so much getting into kind of the design and the layered elements. It's really looking specifically what is on and what is off this list.
Yeah, okay.
And there are different ways I think that could be approached, and that's been left open-ended by the other committee, whether it's specific recommendations you would like to make about specific locations, or maybe it's just bringing in additional criteria to consider in the prioritization and evaluation.
Okay.
I would add that, we're budget constrained, so if we do look at bringing in another project, we're going to have to take out a project of an equal value that has a poorer quality of pavement.
Okay, thank you. Rhonda.
I was just going to say that I very much appreciate the IOAC asking for input and being collaborative like this. I think I saw a couple of members come on, so I just didn't know if anyone wanted to say anything, but I just wanted to make sure that they had that opportunity, since I believe that Dale and Anna and Mike might be from there.
Yeah, I'm Dale Calvert. I'm the chairman of the IOAC. I'm most interested in hearing what you have to say.
Okay, very good.
I don't have a lot of preconceived notions. Well, Jim will tell you, I probably have a lot of preconceived notions. We have been working together for about 25 years, but I don't want to use my preconceived notions. I want to hear what you guys have to say. So that's really all I've got to add.
Okay, very good. So, I mean, obviously, your approach has been very different than ours. You're looking at kind of worst first, at just pavement, and we have been very focused on, as you heard in these earlier conversations, about equity and safety, and that's really informing our work. And so finding that way to give you the feedback, I mean this committee has a lot of options that we can explore, and Miranda, I'm sure, will want to build on this, but it could be just reiterating some of the criteria that we use that you may consider. There's some really good opportunities in here to advance some of the Move Tucson projects. We've seen several of the tier one and tier two in this listing, but maybe there's an opportunity for a subcommittee to go project by project. I don't think that's this space right here, but we'll see where we go from there.
Well, I'll make a couple comments about, we do have some prioritization built into our system, and Jim can probably give you a little more idea of that. But the bottom line is, the number one priority for us is to get as much pavement fixed as fast as we can. I've been, just a little background. I was on the Citizens Transportation Advisory Committee in 1991, and I talked to then director of the department and asked him, what's not being funded in your budget? And he promptly replied, maintenance. We haven't got any maintenance money. And I have been spending time on maintenance issues ever since. And it's been an uphill fight. This is the first, the Prop 411 is the first time we've been able to take anything and take a comprehensive community project of getting the neighborhood streets up to date. Unfortunately, it's fortunate we've got any money, but unfortunately that money is not enough to do every collector in town. Basically the cutoff ended up being like, there's a couple, three projects that are over the 40 OCI, but bottom line is virtually everything we've prioritized is on maintenance and the fact that the street has got lots of holes in it. So, you know, that's kind of our priorities. We want to blend those priorities with your ideas and concerns. So that's why I say what I want to hear is what you guys would like to see here. So thank you.
Thanks, Dale. And thanks, Rhonda. Miranda.
Thanks. I want to echo a lot of Rhonda's comments. I really appreciate the time that the IOAC has taken to put all of this together and to come to us and ask us for input, sort of open-minded without preconceived notions and all of that. And so where my mind goes when I'm thinking about what the CSCC like take would be on something like this, equity is definitely the first place my mind goes, because that's kind of the cornerstone of how we incorporate that consideration into also, I think coming from a similar position of not having enough funding to cover everything that's truly needed. And so needing to be really thoughtful about prioritization. And it's not easy to juggle all of the considerations around layering and timing and funding and things like that, funding availability. Something that stood out to me when I was reviewing the project list was how many Tier 1 Move Tucson projects didn't make the cutoff into that sort of reconstruction phase. And so I was just intrigued and interested to understand more about how and if equity was a consideration or Move Tucson, because my understanding about Move Tucson was that it was supposed to kind of be a guiding blueprint for approaching transportation planning. And so just wanted to open it up.
I can respond at least to the criteria that we used to select the projects. It was solely based on the overall condition index of the roads. We toyed with the idea of looking at how we might try to incorporate equity. We did have some challenges with it as we were trying to do equity. We incorporated it into the neighborhood streets component that we did. So we have an equity factor that we added into that. We also saw that in some cases, the equity, you might have a block of area that has a high equity score, and then you have an adjoining block and it's divided by the road. So you have perhaps a very high equity and a low equity on the same, fronting the same roadway. You know, how do you evaluate that? What we chose to do with the neighborhoods was we said, if it touches it, it counts. So that's what we did with the neighborhoods. We chose not to do that, or I chose not to recommend that. And I will tell you that it was in part due to my recommendation. We chose not to do that because we felt that, people with coming from different equity areas are mobile across the whole network. And so we looked really at the impact, the overall condition and index primarily, with the idea being that the layering would be where we would see the impact of the equity, adding in those additional components to the road program, which could be done more cost effectively, perhaps with the resurfacing projects, but could also go independent of them. So that was kind of the thinking that at least I had in presenting it.
Okay, and Rhonda, I see your hand up. I also, just on this point, a question in the chat, which seems relevant. in terms of equity, is it just about the where the reconstruction takes place, or also the roads that get folks to jobs that are part of making a living? So maybe just.
Yeah, I think, we do have to recognize that, the jobs may be in other areas and people are traveling the network. So on these more network classified roadways, we're going to have people from all walks of life on those roads.
Thanks, Jim. Rhonda, did you remove your hand?
No.
Okay.
I just had a quick question. So okay. Just clarification on the time considerations. Like, when are you looking for feedback? Is there anything that we need to know in terms of a timing?
What I can share with you is that we've deliberately not put a time frame on it. We have an abundance of work to do. We've not yet made a whole lot of progress on the design on the initial project list, which we approved back in February. We're just getting those projects started with some of the engineering. We have really been more focused on the neighborhood streets. So that's been the local street program. That's where we've been putting most of our effort to date on, recognizing that with the exception of those projects that were identified on the end on the initial list that also were featured on the initial safety list. In fact, we went to that was the very first thing that the IOAC approved. Was the Bilbies and the Limberlosts and those projects that were layered. That was the first thing that was approved, and we were able to get the engineering ball rolling on those. So that's in process. Do you have some latitude in terms of the time that you need to come forward with this? I would argue that you do have some time to deliver with this.
Thanks for that, Jim. Now, Ruth.
A couple things on the list. Is the list you gave us for the total 5 years of funding?
Yes, that consumes 5 years worth of funding based upon what we're saying is our average cost per square yard.
And that's all there is 5 years of funding?
That's correct.
For the collector's fee. Okay.
Yeah, total of $75 million over the 5 years.
So a couple questions on the projects. Thank you for Columbus Boulevard. Thank you for Tucson Boulevard. But why does Tucson Boulevard stop at 6th Street and not go to Broadway at least?
It's solely based on the overall condition index. And, the brake line was 38 and change. And anything that fell at had a condition index that exceeded 38.4. Was not funded. It's just running out of money.
Oh, okay. So when I look at Glenn and where Glenn stops as well, it stops at Alvernon. And I think the section between Alvernon and Columbus is pretty bad, but it's not as bad. So the money stops when the grade gets higher. Okay. Got it. Thanks.
Thanks, Ruth. Sophia?
I have so many things on my mind. Okay, so I think this is so helpful to have this table where we can talk about things and we can see the transparency around the decision making. I think that's fabulous, and I think that we should definitely keep doing that. Another thing that comes to mind is how equity is even being defined. Maybe that's a good place where we can come back to. I feel like for me, equity is about the people who are most vulnerable. And when I think about that, I think about people who are walking and biking as their primary mode of transportation, and road and great disrepair, I think, is really sketchy and scary for pedestrians and people using bikes and people in wheelchairs. And then the other part of equity that comes to mind is just the history of exclusion from road maintenance. So then that feels important, where this is like a statement from the city saying, we see you, and here is our duty to you as as the ones who maintain roads and that sort of thing. Okay, and then the next thing I'm curious about is 6th Street. We've talked about the road diet and how pushing, I don't know, I guess I'm thinking about how 6th is going to get pushed. This is going to be reconstructed, but then does that prevent us from looking at road diets in the future? I don't feel clear on that. I hope someone's taking notes and I can always repeat. And then I think other things too that come to mind. So I'm sad to see that 36 will not receive repavement. I go to the 36th Street trailhead to hike, you know, all the time. And that road is definitely bumpy, but I'm happy to forego it for higher equity areas receiving the roads that they need. And then I am also curious if it's Silverbell next to Tumamoc, if that's going to receive some repaving. I feel like that road is atrocious and a lot of people are using it to get to Tumamoc. And again, there's a lot of people who are walking and biking to Tumamoc or around that area. So I'm sure there's other people on this call who maybe have a road that is near and dear to them that maybe didn't make this list and is also maybe on the Move Tucson list or, you know, as like a tier one or tier two project. So just wanted to stir the pot there to see if, anyone else had responses around just the roads that got selected for this first round. And just thinking about what other roads are missing.
One thing I would like to offer before, I mean, I know there's going to be conversation, but one thing I would like to offer is that we're limited by the ordinance to just dealing with collector streets, those that are functionally classified as collectored on the major streets and routes plan. Silverbell, even though it may seem like it has the character of a collector, is not on the collector list. So it was not eligible under this funding source based upon the ordinance that we have. So, but there are others in there. I mean, it's kind of surprising to me how we've got our collector or how our functional classification system is list certain streets. You know, that may be something that we look at revisiting in the future. I know Limberlost didn't even make it up to collector status, even though it's a four-lane roadway in places. So it is something that we're always looking at. But for the purposes of using these funds, we have to limit it to that universe of projects.
Jim, can I add something to what you just said? And you were asking a question about Silverbell from St. Mary's to Congress is actually a Proposition 101 project. And we are still overseeing that site. And that roadway project has been delayed over a waterline project in that area because we city has a policy of not laying pavement where they know utility companies are going to cut the pavement. And the Tucson Water wants to put a water line in there. And we've been waiting for that water line to be put in to finish that Prop 101 project. So that portion of Silverbell from Congress to St. Mary's is a Prop 101 project that's hopefully will be done in the next year. So.
Mr. Calvert. I appreciate you raising that. I would add that project bid on the 17th. And they're in the bid evaluation phase right now. So it'll start mobilizing here in the next few months. So that'll happen.
Okay.
Thank you. Rhonda.
I was just going to ask if the group has any thoughts about how we might best engage in this. Is this something that we would like to pull a subcommittee and go through projects more specifically in the way that Sophia just suggested? Or are we looking at maybe doing sharing back maybe as a starting point you know, could you please look at this list through, you know, the prisms that, that we appreciate, which is the equity and safety move to Sontiers, and see if any of that changes, and then talk, like, what does the group think would be a good path forward? Because I don't know that we can vote on or give a recommendation tonight with such a big topic.
Good question, Rhonda. And Patrick, do you want to add something before we hear members respond to Rhonda?
No, I was just going to respond to Sophia's comment earlier, but I can hold that until this discussion.
Okay, Marshall.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I keep looking at the map that was provided. I think it would be just a good idea if we could overlay the approved repavement of the Collector Streets across the equity map, just to kind of see that kind of overlap, because I think I'm trying to kind of figure it out in my mind, and I think quite a bit of them will fall into those areas that are highest on the equity list.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Miranda?
I'm definitely supportive of taking more time, and I'm really appreciative that we have the opportunity to review things more slowly and think about equity. I like Marshall's suggestion. I guess where my mind is going is also in the interest of like forging a better model moving forward. Like, I don't know if it makes the most sense to have this dynamic where, you know, the IOAC just does a straight up, you know, first worst and then brings it to us. And then we have to sort of like give all this feedback about how we want equity to be considered. Like, in my dream world, everybody kind of like brings a Complete Streets lens to like what they're doing. Cause that's kind of how I read the policy. And that's kind of how I read the way Move Tucson was put together, is that equity lens is brought into all spaces. So I'm wondering if a subcommittee makes sense that's comprised of members of both bodies, just to promote like greater understanding and like awareness of that approach. Just an idea.
Okay, what do you guys think about that? So I'm kind of hearing a couple things from you all, the subcommittee idea to dig in more, and or Rhonda, you also mentioned maybe that there's a kickback to the IOAC of a request to please look at this list again using these lenses and see if it changes. I don't know if those two are mutually exclusive options, but they seem a little distinct, Miranda.
Yeah.
No. Group. Uh-oh. Is Miranda going shaky for everyone?
I think she's frozen.
Miranda! We lost you. Hopefully she'll come back.
Yeah.
As soon as she comes back, we'll get it.
Hello?
All right, we hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, I think my connection's unstable. Honestly, I feel like nobody has a lot of free time to volunteer for another subcommittee. I feel like this group is pretty strapped for time, hence the crickets when I mentioned a subcommittee, which I don't exactly have a bunch of free time to do either. So if it's possible to just give a sort of suggestion of, hey, can you go back and look at equity, look at Move Tucson and see if that moves the needle on any of those projects that are close to the cutoff, that would be something that I would feel supportive of.
Okay.
I could write something up if people wanted to see a draft or something like that.
Can you say more on what a draft would look like?
I'm sorry, I think I missed that, Sophia.
Could you just explain what you mean with what you want to create a draft?
Just to send some feedback back to, as Colleen expressed just a few minutes ago, about you know, thank you for the opportunity. We appreciate the ability to review and have this conversation and this collaboration. And you know, this is how we look at our work, and we wonder if there might be an opportunity to go back and look at your list through some of the lenses of equity and safety and see if anything changes. on that list. Maybe it doesn't, but maybe there is an opportunity, and it would be just be helpful for us. I think to Marshall's point, we would have more information about how that looks on a map, and you know, short of being able to actually give approval, and short of, as you know, I don't know that there is the ability to have a joint committee to go through each and every one of these projects. Maybe there is, but.
Yeah. And what that stirs up for me is like what, you know, maybe it's like a request, you know, is this feasible to do what Marshall has recommended? And then maybe the second is to actually pull up the Move Tucson and just see those two pitted against each other and see if there's anything that we can glean from that. Yeah, and Jim, you mentioned that there's flexibility on the time scale, but just, you know, amount of projects to get through. So happy to hear, you know, like what we can send this letter, and then we're happy to hear just what are other things that we might be missing in order to collaborate well.
Couple things, if I might add, Colleen.
Of course.
No, I didn't. Where's my... one, if it's helpful, just a reminder that the Move Tucson prioritization is largely based on the equity and safety considerations of those projects. So it's already baked into kind of that Move Tucson prioritization. So tier one, by and large, are going to fall more in those highest equity areas, as well as have a known safety issue, as well as some sort of deficiency in terms of what being able to provide kind of access to all users and safe access. My second thought, and maybe Jim, this is more for you or for the committee, do you think it would be beneficial to have a formal letter kind of drafted and sent on behalf of the body? Or do you think, you know, kind of a motion and an expression of that from this committee to the IOC would capture the essence of, I'm just thinking Rhonda having to, you know, go home, write another letter, bring it back to the committee, and then present it to the other committee?
You know, I think certainly with our chair being present, you know, he is, you know, he can convey the sentiment or confirm what I convey back as a staff report to the IOAC, because we do have now a standing item on our agenda. We will be meeting next Monday, and we do have an agenda item, you know, basically an update on the CSCC. We have that's a standing item now. And, you know, if there are members of, well, I'd suggest, you know, if there is a member of the CSCC that would want to present or you know, I usually pick on Patrick and ask him to give a report on the activities. But, you know, we could, you know, I think it'd be helpful to get the feedback. You know, one thing that as we're talking about this, you know, knowing that, you know, we do have a duty to look at where the worst roads are, but we also, you know, should look at opportunities. Perhaps one of the things that we could do is say, look at all of those roads that have an IO or have a OCI of less than 45, let's say, which, you know, kind of on the cusp of being included, and may have Move Tucson priority improvements associated with it. Maybe that's a way that we could look at a first cut at projects that might be on the bubble that we might wish to reconsider. So I just throw that out for consideration, and I'm not wed to any approach, but thought it might be something that we could, you know, chew on.
Okay, Riley.
I was just gonna say, or curious about the word, like our council reps and feedback on like these proposals. Like I know there's representatives from all the wards, but the actual like council members themselves, has there been any input on this list yet from them, or will there be an outreach directly with that? I don't know. Just kind of.
You know, I would say that the council members are all very interested, but it's the IOAC that's making the call on things, and I'm not seeing anything other than great collegiality amongst the members. There is an interest in trying to have, we term it ward proportionality. No, not all wards are created equal. They may all have equal or similar populations within them, but Ward 6 has far more roads than Ward 3 does. In fact, there's almost 40 to 50% more road surface in Ward 6 than there is in Ward 3. And those are kind of the two outliers. So, I don't know. I'm going off on a tangent. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, sort of. I just,
Patrick laughs. He knows how I work.
If I represented a ward, it would be, I'd want to see it probably and just kind of look at you probably know your ward pretty well and kind of think about, the ways that these have been prioritized. And, it's 5 years worth of projects. So it's a pretty big deal. And I'm guessing most people who represent their wards are in consultation with their appointers. So I just wondered if there was any sort of direct feedback or anything. So
I can tell you that deferred maintenance knows no ward boundaries.
Okay. So I don't see any other hands up. If I may just share my screen, I was trying to kind of collect some of the, you can all get on the same page about kind of what it seems like moving forward with maybe like more of an informal recommendation that this could be shared, back without a formal recommendation. We can talk about that, but are these kind of the main things that you'd want members to share back to IOAC? Okay, thumbs up from Sophia. Is there anything else, members, that you all would like to communicate back to the IOAC at this point? Okay. So, something in chat, sorry. Oh, thanks, Sophia. If that's the case, then I guess Patrick and Jim, kind of as the staff liaisons, we're looking to you that this is sort of informal at this point. And then the idea is that either you, Jim, or a CSCC member would share this back to the IOAC at your next meeting. Is that suitable?
Yeah, that works for me. And, between Patrick and I think we can convey that with Mr. Calvert's guidance.
Yeah, I'm very comfortable with that, with taking that back and explaining where you're at. Maybe I'm not quite as eloquent as some of you are, but I think with the list and Jim's help, we can communicate this to the committee and see what kind of responses we get and go from there. So anything else you want to add, Jim?
No, I think I got my homework figured out.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else final from any CSCC members or just anyone at this point?
And I'll send out an invitation if any CSCC members would like to attend. I think that sounds like an open invite to the fourth upcoming IOAC meeting to be able to speak on behalf or kind of give a more flavor of this conversation that happened tonight and kind of interact directly with the other committee.
Yeah, we will be meeting at 5:30 p.m. on Monday, this coming Monday, the 28th, in the Mesquite Room at the Parks administration building. I think it's 900 South Randolph.
Yeah, exactly. I think you got that exactly right.
Well done. Great. Okay. Final comments or questions on this item?
I did just want to come back to one thing that Sophia said. regarding Sixth Street. So what that will ultimately do is kind of remove that second trigger that we had put in. We're going to come back and evaluate the potential for extending the road diet that we're looking at east of Country Club between that Country Club and Campbell segment. So without that repaving as kind of the trigger to go through that evaluation and look at reconfiguring the lanes, that is going to present something of a challenge of exploring that road diet. What we could do potentially would be looking at our safety exclusive funding to see if we wanted to put this committee wanted to potentially, you know, wait until the first segment of the road diet is done, continue that evaluation independent of the paving work, and identify safety and perhaps bikeway money as part of that consideration to make that improvement. It's going to be the consequence of that, and I'll defer to the pavement experts on this, is that it becomes very tricky to do some of the line obliteration if you're not doing the paving work. So we'll have to look at seeing what that cost would do to do kind of a lesser pavement work to change the lane stripes. Because if you don't do that, what you'll see is kind of ghost stripes coming through 15 years later, where you'll see dashed lines in the middle of the travel lane where we had previously changed the lanes without having done kind of taking off that top layer of asphalt. There's a couple examples. South Park, you'll see it. 36th Street, you have the same situation where we didn't do that full pavement rework, and you can see the old striping. It can be a little confusing, especially at certain times of day when the light's reflecting off of it. So it's still on the table, but it would be on the table in a different way and on a different timeline.
Okay, so you're saying it will pose a challenge, but there are still some possibilities to work around it. Or like that a road diet can still be possible in the future.
Exactly, because it's kind of, there isn't that automatic trigger in like 2026 when we had it initially on our tentative list where we would do that evaluation following the other road diet. Because that's really going to change the traffic flows on that segment, and we're going to revisit it to see if it would still be a candidate. It's also going to eliminate some of the cost sharing opportunities. So the 411 safety side of the program would have to bear the full cost of it because the paving work wouldn't be getting done under that element.
Yes?
Jim, I guess this is for Patrick. Exactly which segment of six are you talking about?
It's Campbell to Country Club. So as we evaluated, we did that road diet evaluation basically from Campbell all the way to Wilmot. The section from Country Club to Wilmot is going to move forward with the repaving. It was deemed feasible. We're going to do the lane reconfiguration on that pilot basis and study it. But we had discussed coming back in 26, 27, when on the tentative list of the collector list, there was some consideration of repaving Country Club to Campbell and reevaluating to see what the traffic impacts of the road diet to the east would be on the traffic operations of that section to see if we could restripe.
Okay, that answers my question. I was, you know, because actually the Country Club to Wilmot is a 101 project, and I was just trying to figure out what you're talking about. So I thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep.
And Patrick, Sophia had follow-up for you in the chat. Do you want to expand on that, Sophia, or do you want him to just answer in chat?
Yeah, I feel like we can move on from this, but okay. I heard a lot of things. It was great. And also there's some terms that I'm not clear on. So maybe in the future, if there's like, okay, this is option A of what happens if this doesn't happen and kind of those cause-effect stuff.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And I will say, trigger is not a professional term. That was just the word that came out of my mouth. So don't put any special meaning on that. Basically, when we were going to do some...
I can't Google that.
But what I meant by that is if we're doing repaving work and we have excess lanes, we'll typically do an evaluation to see if there's an opportunity to do a road diet, to reconfigure the lanes. By removing that repaving work, we've kind of removed that automatic review of that segment. So we would have to advance it through other means. In this case, it would be the 411 safety program.
Okay.
I that clarified anything, but.
Okay, well, we have guidance to be more clear in the future, Patrick. All right, well, thanks everybody for this agenda item. Thanks to Jim and Dale and others from IOAC who joined, and hopefully this is the beginning of more good collaboration between these two councils. We do need to move on now. Oh, Ruth says she can attend the meeting on Monday. She put that in the chat. Thank you, Ruth. Okay. Well, unfortunately, we have probably far surpassed the 6-month term of our current lovely co-chairs, Rhonda and Miranda. So just a reminder for those, or if you're hearing it for the first time for new folks, the CSCC operates on a model of a co-chair system. So we have two chairs that serve for around 6 months each, and the role involves meeting with Patrick and Tani and myself for 1 hour before these meetings to help develop the agenda, and then all the kind of administrative pomp and circumstance stuff that they do of calling things to order and motioning and things. But before we open up for volunteers for who would like to take on this role, a huge thanks to Rhonda and Miranda, who have done an amazing job. Do either of you want to say anything about the experience by way of encouraging others to take it on?
Yes, I mean, I guess I would just say that it's such a privilege and such an honor, and it's Patrick and Colleen make it very easy. We have a great collaborative relationship where we can talk about what we'd like to see and where we'd like to see the discussions go. And so it's been really, really a great experience.
Thanks, Rhonda. Miranda, did you want to say anything?
I mean, everything Rhonda said, I definitely feel the same way. I feel like, you know, I also have learned so much and just like really enjoy doing it. You know, it is extra time and effort, but y'all make it really easy. So it's just well facilitated. We have a good collaborative working relationship. And we just want to make, you know, I want to make sure that I'm making room if anybody feels called to step into the role. But yeah, really enjoy being co-chair.
Thank you, Miranda. That's a great way to put it. So does anyone feel called to step into the role?
I'll say I'm curious about it. And okay, if I could drag in some other people, that'd be great. Jennifer, maybe somebody new, Luis. I feel like this is a good learning environment. I'm also in a chair position elsewhere, so I feel like it's really great if people have never had a position. This is a great place to learn.
Thanks, Sophia. Anyone interested in throwing their hat in with Sophia? We do recognize that you all give a lot of time already, so it's not meant to be a pressure situation. If I can read into your comments, Miranda, it sounded like you might be willing to remain if there weren't two people feeling called. Is that, but feel free to correct me.
Yeah, I know that's how I feel about it. Yeah, okay. I'd be happy to continue, but, you know, like, definitely want to make space.
Okay. And Rhonda, you have given so much and have so, I mean, everyone has so much to do. It's looking like maybe Miranda and Sophia, unless someone else is willing to jump in with Sophia. Does that seem like where we're headed?
I see someone trying to unmute themselves. Maybe.
Okay. Well, how about this? There is still 15 minutes left of the meeting, so should you feel called in the next 15 minutes, why don't you put it in the chat? Okay, so thanks again, Rhonda. So appreciate working with you. Thanks for being willing to stay on, Miranda, and thanks for stepping up, Sophia, and hopefully we'll get another person stepping up before the end of the meeting, but thanks for being willing to stay on, Miranda.
Colleen, I just asked, before we close out, if we do get another person or we don't, I think we should look to make an official action of it so we can have a transition at the next meeting and
yes,
our chair's meeting schedule.
Yes. Let's see if anyone rises to the occasion in the next few minutes, and then we'll motion.
Thank you so much, Rhonda, for your time. We've It's been a pleasure and a joy working with you over the last several months, and we will continue to just in the broader group. So thank you so much for volunteering and your time.
Thank you, everybody. Okay, let's run quickly through the hub, the CSCC hub. So Liz is not here, and we did just spend a lot of time on IOAC, so maybe I don't know that there's anything else on that. Okay, Tariq is also not here, so no one to speak to Pedestrian Advisory Council. Jill, do you have anything for us? Jill was here. Maybe she had to step off. Okay, Riley, do you have anything for us?
Sure, I can do a couple updates. We haven't met since June because we didn't have quorum for our, we skipped July, we didn't have quorum, August 3rd, so. The TTF, Transit Task Force, is now officially the Transit, Tucson Transit Advisory Committee, TTAC. So we're a permanent committee now. I guess the task force was had to be renewed every couple of years. So that happened. I don't know how interesting this is to everybody. One of the big things right now in transit is the comprehensive operational analysis or assessment or whatever it is, the COA. So a lot of you have probably seen stuff about this. The Department of Transportation is doing surveys. They have come up with proposed route changes. So if you haven't seen those surveys, you might want to look up, you know, SunTran or Tucson Transit survey. You can see the proposed changes to the bus routes. There's pop-up events around town still. And we are having a special meeting next Thursday, August 31st, and that will be James from the Department of Transportation will present the COA again, the proposed route changes. So if you want to learn more about it, you can come to that as an observer. That is an in-person meeting, though, from 3 to 5. There's obviously a lot of people have a lot of strong feelings about the bus routes. So if you're a transit user, it's a good time to weigh in. I guess I would just say, I think everybody knows about fareless transit has been continued indefinitely, basically, at this point. That's about it, I guess I could say. That's of interest.
Thanks, Riley. Mm-hmm. And Sophia, you're queuing up for your update in the chat, I see.
Yeah, I dropped two files in there. So the first thing from the Bicycle Advisory Committee meeting was that Natasha Tolley from the Medical Examiner's Office came and gave a public health perspective on traffic violence, so car-caused fatalities for pedestrians and bicycle users. I think the takeaways were that she feels like there's a huge lack of data. She feels like she would analyze a crash and a fatality very differently than is currently being done. Departments are not talking to each other either to really be able to give like a full picture analysis. So in that report, you'll find as much data as she can pull together to create some sort of story, but it's really not the full picture. So I think a lot of, yeah, that is there for you if you are curious. And then what did I drop? Yeah. Another thing that the BAC is working on is at the last meeting, we spoke with Sergeant Williams about the TPD, Tucson Police Department report out on fatalities. And there was a question to see, you know, can we meet together to talk about these crashes differently? Because it's not addressing the actual problem with these fatalities. And so there was openness there. John Edgett is a BAC member who made this presentation. He didn't get to fully present on it, but that is something that the BAC is looking at, is how can we create reporting? How can we change reporting around fatalities when it comes to pedestrians and bicycle users? So really excited to have that energy. It's Vision Zero energy, and we'll be sharing just more updates on that too.
Thanks, Sophia. And we still don't have a member from CODI. So those updates wrap up our CSC hub. Oh, Riley has a question for you, Sophia, who presented
from the PMIC. Yeah, I just missed who you said presented. I thought I heard you say someone's name, but.
It was a BAC member. I don't know what PCOME is.
Oh, okay. It's right on that document you put in there, the Pima County Office of the Medical Examiner.
Oh, who presented? Oh, yeah, who? Now I know what you're talking about. So the medical examiner was Natasha Tolley.
Thanks.
I can drop their name in there too.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So let's move to wrap up. Patrick, do you have any important DTM updates for us?
First off, thanks, Sophie, for that. And I would encourage anybody to go to that data source that's provided in the attached document from the medical examiner's report, because I believe that has the link to the real-time crash data that Tucson Police Department publishes. I actually learned about it from that presentation. I didn't even know that was available to us. We've been using year-and-a-half-old data. So to have real-time data at your fingertips is really powerful and be able to just see and be able to track what's happening out on the streets. And to that, what we're seeing is we have just seen our 58th fatal of the year on the roadway. So we are tracking with last year where we had 99 fatals. We year to date, we were at the exact same number. So we've seen absolutely no decrease from the record year that we saw last year. So this continues to be an ongoing safety crisis. We have seen a shift back, a slight reduction in pedestrian fatalities, but that's been replaced by motorist and motorcycle fatalities. But yeah, we're not really seeing those improvements and any change in that condition. So it's something we'll continue to keep our eyes on. So I'm really encouraged to hear the discussion you are having at the BAC. Other than that, we've got a couple of changes I think that would be this committee should be aware of. Mayor and council has changed quorum rules for all BCCs. So we've changed the rule that it requires a quorum of all seats. And it's now just a majority of seated members. So we have two vacancies right now. So instead of having to meet the threshold of 9, our quorum rule right now is 8. We'll still work to make sure we're getting those filled, but hopefully it means more of the Tucson's BCCs will have greater success in being able to meet quorum. A couple other things. September 14th, we'll have our first public meeting for the Bilby Road Project, which is going to be our first layered collector street / 411 safety program, the first one that this committee approved. So that will be at Sunnyside High School. At the cafeteria on September 14th. We're pretty excited about that and being able to share some of what we're looking at and how we're able to kind of bring these different funding sources together. We're also getting ready to, and it may have already gone out to bid on grant phases 3 and 4, which is from Palo Verde to basically Swan. So that will be going to construction later this year. So that one's finally moving and we had some hangups with that as well. A number of our one-on-one pavement projects are also moving now. We had a couple of delays with Tucson Water and other issues, but those are starting to get out. So I think those are kind of the primary updates this week. Won't go too much longer than that, but we're pretty excited to really being able to start to deliver on some of these 411 projects. Oh, one other thing I did want to mention, we have our annual revenues. I don't have the officials right now, but I'm hearing we are coming in above target for Prop 411, which was fantastic. So we had projected $74.5 million a year for 10 years is what we're basing these plans on. My understanding is that fiscal year one has now been fully reported out and we're at about $76 million. What's more exciting about this is that 74.5 that we were estimating was the average over the 10 years with a lower kind of revenue rate at the beginning and a higher revenue rate at the end. So we're well outpacing kind of what our projection was, and that will continue to be distributed on that 80-20. So it'll give us an opportunity as we develop our 5-year plan to look at maybe a slightly higher revenue ceiling. And, oh, yeah, thank you, Jim. There's been two announcements as well. Paki Rico has resigned from Pima Association of Governments. She will now be with the Federal Highway Administration doing some grants administration. She was a member of this committee for a couple of years, and she had her last day on Friday. So we wish her all the best, and it's really exciting going on to Federal Highway Administration. And then Catherine Mitchell is no longer on this committee. She actually got a job at the City of Tucson in Housing and Community Development. So that's really cool to see. We're very happy for her.
Okay. Thanks, Patrick. So
I just want to open. Jim, is there anything you want to add to the revenues or anything? Are we good on 411? Sorry, Colleen.
I think Jim has nothing to add.
All right, I think we're good.
I'm sorry, I thought you said Jim. I apologize. We'll be giving a revenue update to the IOAC that'll show the distribution between the Better Streets and the Safe Streets components of it. So that is something that our business services folks are going to give me to present on Monday. But Patrick, you're correct. It's in fact the number is north of $77 million at this point.
Right.
Okay. All right. Before we wrap up with our vote to hand the baton to new co-chair, the future agenda item that was mentioned tonight was like a speed humps 101. That's how I noted it down, Sophia. So we've got that down. If there's anything else you thought of tonight that you would like to see as a future agenda item, you can just put it in the chat before we leave, and Patrick and I can grab that. But with our last minute, so we've got Sophia volunteering to step up and Miranda volunteering to stay on. We do have to have an official motion for that. So any concerns with these two people taking us forward? Okay, so then I guess I need a motion and a second from the current co-chairs to hand it over. So Rhonda, your last official motion.
I move that Sophia Gonzalez and Miranda Schubert be approved as co-chairs moving forward.
And I second that.
Yeah, I know. Probably okay. Funny to second for yourself, but I guess that's how it works.
Who else would do it?
That's you. Okay. All right. It has been made so. Welcome, Sophia. All righty. With that, it's 7:30, and we want to get you all out of here on time, as always, because you have important other things to do. So thank you all for your time. Great to see you. See you next time.
Thank you.